Welcome to FemTech at Work, the podcast where we explore the intersection of technology, health, and women's empowerment in the workplace, hosted by me, Maaike Steinebach. This show will dive into the innovative solutions transforming women's health and well-being in the workplace. Join us as we chat with FemTech founders, industry leaders, and change makers who are pioneering advancements in FemTech and women's health. We discuss everything: menstrual health, reproductive rights, menopause, but also the challenges women face in the workplace and how innovation can overcome them. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting your FemTech journey, FemTech at Work is here to inspire and inform you about the future of health and wellness for women everywhere. Tune in and be part of the conversation. And welcome to today's episode of the podcast FemTech at Work with a very, very special guest, Eve Lee, who is the co-founder and CEO of Hey Taylor from Singapore. Hi, Eve.
Hi, Maaike. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear the story about Hey Taylor and your journey because, oh my God, you have quite an impressive background. So tell me a little bit about your background. Tell me what inspired you to start Hey Taylor.
So my background is actually in health tech. I used to be building apps, building tech products, as well as building kind of like data pipelines that connect the medical devices to hospitals and so on. So it's really health tech that's my background. But the inspiration from Hey Taylor came about when I was actually working in an IVF clinic for so long. What I was thinking was I want to really serve the patients on the ground. And that was what I did. I went to an IVF clinic and I really served them every single day. And what I realized there was that many couples and women were going through many expensive and painful IVF cycles because certain conditions were caught a bit too late.
Yeah.
So they were so successful in every way, every aspect of their lives. And here they are thrown to the deep end. They have to grapple with the uncertainty of what's to come. It was really painful to watch. And that inspired me to co-found Hey Taylor together with Dr. Jody to really drive early detection of conditions and build a better model for healthcare.
Oh, incredible. So why Hey Taylor? Tell me about the name. You're not a Swiftie, are you?
I've gotten this question many times. Yeah, so Taylor Swift is great, but the inspiration for it also came from my experience at the IVF clinic. So having seen all these cases around me, all these really difficult IVF cycles going on, I was really compelled to think, do I want to have a baby right now or not?
Yeah.
So I was at the crossroads of whether or not I should have my child now. And in the end, I decided to take a risk and start Hey Taylor first before doing that. So I froze my eggs to kind of like preserve the optionality. And I named Hey Taylor after my kid, whose name will be Taylor.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Taylor is kind of gender neutral, right? So it could be a boy, it could be a girl. But if it's a girl, hopefully this will have created a better healthcare system for her.
Oh, wow. Amazing. So Hey Taylor are actually physical clinics, right? And then with a hybrid digital model. Can you tell us a little bit about how it works if I'm a potential customer?
So the Hey Taylor app is basically a period tracker with clinical algorithms baked in. Essentially, what it does is to alert you when something may not be right. Because as women, we're very used to certain symptoms like bad period cramps, irregular periods, and so on. We don't really think about it. But something that we do, most of us, is track our periods. So we decided to really build in that alert, that logic into the period tracking habits that you commonly have. And then from there, tell you in a very personalized way when something might not be right. And then basically allow you to come to clinic to seek the help that you need. In the clinic, we do screenings, we do consultations that really give you the time to really learn about your symptoms and share about what you've been through. And subsequently, we also kind of carry you through between visits as well through the app. Where are you getting better with this particular treatment? Is something else happening and so on? So we essentially see you through the whole healthcare journey. That's why we call it like life transitions.
Yeah. So basically, if you're obviously still of a menstruating age, that's when you start. But I guess like a menopausal woman, would I go to your clinic as well?
Yes. Yes. Thanks for clarifying. So in the period tracker, although it's called period tracker, there are actually certain things that are based on symptoms. For example, like joint pain, weight gain, hot flashes, and so on. These various symptoms also alert you to the possibility of perimenopause. So having seen all these women for perimenopause in Hey Taylor, what we observed is that it's very hard to kind of put a finger on when something could be perimenopause. So oftentimes people think that it's maybe stress, it's aging, you know, stress at work or relationships issues and so on. So what we want to do is also to give credence and to give that validation that this could point to something that's happening in your body.
Yeah. So you started a physical clinic. Some people might find that a slightly contrarian position to take in a day and age when everything is moving kind of online and digital. What was the thinking behind it? And what kind of gaps did you see in the market that you thought that was a good idea?
Yeah, that's a great question. So telemedicine is the way to go to many people. But what we found is that when it comes down to it, when certain conditions become more complicated, you have to go to the physical clinic. And is that when things all start to become more difficult, you know, greater inefficiency? There's so many things that could be done but are not done yet. So that's what made us think that, okay, we have to tackle it where it's the most difficult. We have to go to where it really starts from. And that's really the clinic. Of course, our hope and what we're working towards is not just to be a clinic, but to really scale this level of care to 1 million women and more. But starting from the physical clinics, because it's what no one wants to do, but it's really, really necessary.
Yes. How hard is it to start a physical clinic? Can you tell me a little bit around the operational setup and the things that you had to consider when you started?
Well, on hindsight, it's not that hard after all, right? On
everything is relative, right?
But I would say that everything requires thought, right? So for example, what we experience with a physical clinic is that from the moment you step in, you feel like you are kind of waiting for your turn. You're not really able to feel like you are empowered. You know, people kind of call out your name and so on. And that's what we want to change. So in the physical design of the clinic, we actually put a lot of thought into it. We tried to bring in hospitality elements into a physical space so that it's not clinical or medical in this vibe. And of course, in terms of the location, we chose the CBD because we really want professional working women who have no time to be able to help much faster. So I think all these things that we had to work out, but starting a physical clinic, you know, if you have the conviction, yeah, it's possible.
And obviously you also need doctors in your clinic, right? So how did you convince them to join?
My partner, Dr. Jody, is a women's health doctor. And yes, many doctors do want to be able to spend time with their patients. They do wish for a better environment. They do hope to care for their patients and so on. And women care about women, right? So
yes,
definitely able to appeal to that.
Yes. How has the response been from the medical community? So typically very established, right? Kind of older generations, older doctors. How do they respond to like these two women that are coming into very established market with a women's health clinic? Are they positive? Are they neutral? What are they thinking? Or they give no feedback?
For those that we have spoken to, I think they feel it's a great initiative. The reason is that at a specialist level, the gynecologist, what they have to do is very complex, right? They have to deliver babies, they have to do surgeries. They wish they had more time to spend with patients to really understand, for example, like menopause, what are all the things that you're going through, right? But they don't really have time. But at the GP level, what happens is that many doctors have to see common acute cases like cough, cold, and flu. Again, you have such a long waiting time and essentially there's no one taking care of in between. So I think it's a welcome addition to the ecosystem because it plugs a gap. And so we have gotten quite good feedback, actually, honestly, from the people around us.
Oh, that's amazing. And what about the clients? What do the women think?
We've been so surprised by the great feedback from women. And some of them even call it like a movement, not a clinic. And that's all communities.
Yeah.
So impressive and surprising and moving. For example, we have a patient, she moved back to Nepal and then she went to start her own women's health workshop using our app because she just thought that she really wanted to spread more awareness on how certain symptoms are not normal in her community. So these are the things that really inspire us.
Wow, that's really interesting, right? Because that means as you've now had the clinic for 4 months, you've been up and running for 4 months?
Yeah, that's right. In April.
So you can already start thinking about kind of like a non-profit community initiative, right? So how can you support the ones that may not be necessarily able to afford the services?
Yeah, our app is free for use. So if you're just tracking your symptoms, your period, and wanting to read more information in a very personalized way, you can already do that.
Well, I have to say, I really, really, really love the look and feel. So in the show notes, we will actually share the website, but it's so clear. It's so easy to use. I also love kind of all the different screenings that you have, because I think a lot of women, in my experience being in this space now for the last few years, was that a lot of women don't even know what kind of screenings they need, right? And miss out on a lot of, as you say, preventative healthcare just because they lack knowledge and information. What have so far been the services that have been most popular?
Yes, so it's actually quite an even spread. We see many younger women coming in for period-related concerns, so be it irregular cycles or heavy flow, period cramps, and even conditions like polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yep.
We also see women increasingly coming in for things like hot flushes or insomnia.
Wow.
Or things like bad joint pains or weight gain and so on, all of which point to perimenopause and really wanting to understand what treatment options are available because they feel like their parents went through it and everything was fine. So what actually should they do at this point?
Yeah, amazing. How do they find you? Is it word of mouth? Are you marketing? Or is it really just organic growth?
It's a combination of things. I would say word of mouth is a big one. Social media is another one. Google, these are the main channels that we see people coming in from. But I would say that because it does solve a specific pain point for women who are unsure.
Yes.
And the overall feeling they get from us is that we're not there to sell clinical services. We're there as fellow women journeying through life with them. So I think that's why the word of mouth part is pretty strong.
Yeah. Amazing. It all sounds pretty hunky-dory, right? You just started. The feedback from the community is positive. The feedback from the women are positive. But I'm sure there are some challenges, right? What are some of the challenges that you've encountered?
Yes. So the biggest challenge I would say is that women's health is still regarded as a niche by many people.
Yes.
Even though it actually affects half the population. But in the medical world, you're either a general practitioner or you are a specialist in terms of gynecologists. So we are actually kind of operating as a new addition to the ecosystem that's very established, as you mentioned earlier. So it's not just in terms of general cultural norms or what, it's also institutional. So insurance actually doesn't cover many women's health services.
Yeah.
Maternity is something elective, right? Surgery, of course, is usually covered. But things like menopause, fertility, polycystic ovarian syndrome, they are usually considered like lifestyle.
Yep.
Or in wellness. So I think these are the biggest ecosystem factors that are challenging. But, you know, it just shows that what we are doing is very necessary.
Yes. It's a really good point, how limiting kind of the insurance coverage is for women's health. I mean, the amount of cover that I just get to do a basic mammogram and pap smear is just appalling. But how are you tackling those issues? Are you actually actively working with the insurance companies to show them what you're doing and to try and get better coverage for your patients? And how are they responding to that if you are?
Yes. So many of these things are in progress. They're in the works. And I would say that having to shift a big system takes time.
Oh.
Right. And we're ready for it.
Yeah. Amazing. Hey, you're not a first-time founder because I read in your profile, your bio, that you've worked with Doc Anywhere, but you've also founded your own company. Was it Little Fires?
Yeah.
So I'm just very curious because I speak to so many first-time founders that are just, you know, a bit overwhelmed by everything, but you obviously have a lot of previous experience. How has this shaped you now in your new role?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think firstly is to act out of a conviction of a certain pain point that you observe. So I think a lot of times many of us import models from other countries. But being able to really see pain points from your own experience and understanding how it's like in your specific context is a very powerful starting point. I would say that's the biggest kind of difference in what I do now. Secondly, I think it's in terms of really caring for the team, making sure we hold strong.
Yeah.
And being able to go through all the uncertain times, still being happy and optimistic and all that. So sometimes when there's too much stress, you may just become really introverted or, you know, you just want to get things done. But it's very important to take care of the team because that's what drives people forward.
Yeah. How big is the team now?
We are still a small team.
I guess it also means that you as a CEO wear many, many hats. So just on a personal level, what does your self-care routine look like? How do you stay sane and healthy and keep your mental health in shape?
Oh, my goodness. I think for me, it's striking a balance between grunt work and being creative and really just giving myself to think.
Yeah.
Right. Of course, exercising and all that. I really need to do more of that. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not the best at it. But I think it's really zooming in and out all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you zoom in too much, you forget about what you're trying to achieve. Sometimes you zoom out too much and things don't get done. So I think doing that gives me the perfect happy balance.
Yeah.
To really continue on and on.
Yeah. Amazing. And is the clinic also open in the weekend or is it just on weekdays?
Currently, just on weekdays because we are CBD. On weekends, the CBD seems pretty quiet.
Yeah.
However, we do other kind of like labs and centers that open on weekends for those that need to go on a Saturday.
Yes, of course. Understand. You're talking a little bit about building a community, right? And a movement. How are you currently engaging with that community after kind of the patients have left? Are you guys thinking about how to keep the tailors kind of connected?
I love that you call them tailors. Not just Taylor Swift fans, but tailors.
No, they're tailors now.
Yeah, so we have monthly events, right? So we have various get-together sessions. So for example, at the end of the month, we're having a mobile clinic. Of course, we're bringing a clinic to the East.
Yep.
But it's more than just medical care, but it's also having a sharing session, having a community to really share your personal experiences and feel each other's personal physical presence, right? And on top of that, of course, we do kind of monitor, but take care of them even when they're at home through the app and all that in terms of after post-consult care.
Yes.
Yeah, but I would say that these are the key things that we are actively doing currently, basically in-person events as well as tracking them in terms of visual care at home.
When you kind of connect with them in the community, what has surprised you the most? When you started this, I'm sure you had an expectation about what the feedback would be. What has surprised you the most?
I think it's really that when people feel cared for, you really want to kind of like pay it forward.
Mm.
Coming from an IVF clinic, I understand how vulnerable it might feel and how valuable it is to get a clinic that cares for you. But I didn't underestimate it. The extent to which women will really respond to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's very surprising, honestly.
Well, I guess women feel heard, right? I think the problem with a lot of women that I speak to tell me that they just don't feel seen and they don't feel heard. And the fact that you've actually created a whole company to make women feel seen and heard, I think is very, very impressive. So congratulations with that.
Oh.
When we spoke about the challenges, you did not mention fundraising. But I guess having, you know, brick and mortar or actually having to rent a place for a clinic is not easy. It's kind of the first of its kind, I think, in Singapore.
Yeah.
Have you raised any money? And you don't have to tell me the details if you don't want to, but I'm just curious, have you raised and how has that experience been for you?
We haven't raised yet.
Okay.
We have been bootstrapped so far. Of course, fundraising might be something we consider soon, given the demand for things, but we have been basically bootstrapped so far and relying on our own funds and sustaining it that way. But we have had some casual conversations and you would be surprised that, you know, it's not just, there's actually a community of men out there who really resonate because maybe their wives went through perimenopause and it really affected their marriage. Or like, you know, people with friends, so many IVF cycles and they think things can be done better. So we are looking for people who have been through it and can have a shared sense of mission.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, we need more of those men in Hong Kong. I think it's incredible to hear that there are investors or people interested to explore an investment in companies like yourself. I think we need more understanding that we are not talking about a niche, but we are talking about half the population. We're talking about population health and family health. I mean, everybody would agree when you talk to them that keeping your mother or your sister or your granddaughter healthy is kind of a priority, right? So that's very good news. Well, I'll just come and find you next year to see how you're doing in that space.
Yeah.
How about the government? Have they been supportive? Have they shared any? Obviously, they have to give you a license, right? Which they did.
Hmm.
But is there any further support or enthusiasm from them about what you're doing?
I think given the drop in the total fertility rate and the aging population, there will be. We haven't really broached that conversation so far. You know, it's been 4 months. We haven't really gone there yet. But I think it's aligned with the overall national policy. So in that regard, I think at least they wouldn't mind us existing.
Yeah. Well, if I were in government, you would clearly be one of the places I would come and go and check out and see how we could support. Because it looks like, you know, the feedback from the women that you're serving is very, very positive and the communities that you're serving. So that would also make the government interested. So currently you have a clinic in Singapore, you have an app that is available. And is it also available for people outside of Singapore?
Yes, it is. It's basically on the App Store or the Google Play Store. Anyone can download it.
Yeah.
Currently, we only support English. So that's all the limitation.
So where do you see Hey Taylor evolve in the future? And hey, I appreciate you've only been doing this for 4 months, right? So I don't want to put massive pressure on you to kind of come to other markets. But tell me, what's the plan?
You think there'll be a demand for it in Hong Kong?
Oh, absolutely.
I'll see you there.
Yes.
So I think from the very first day that we started, our goal really is to build a new model of healthcare, build a new infrastructure for women's health. And building a brick and mortar clinic is really just the first step. We do get questions asking, are we a services-based clinic? Are we a services-based business? And the answer is, we are not just a services-based business. And we have really exciting projects that are in motion. And I'll be able to share with you the next week, maybe next year.
Yeah, amazing. I can imagine if you're a corporate, you would also be interested. But for the moment, you only do B2C, right? Not yet B2B.
For the moment, our active efforts are in B2C. But of course, we have not random, but ad hoc partnerships and all of that.
Yeah. If you look at the women's health market, so I started looking into this in 2018. Most of the companies that are in this space are kind of less than 5 to 6 years old. The industry is still very nascent, but it's getting a lot of momentum, right? So we see companies like yourself. We see digital health and wellness companies coming. We see menopause being really elevated to the next level. Where do you see women's health in Asia evolving in the next 5 years?
My bet is that there will be a greater desire for full stack solutions, not just in clinic services, yeah, not just digital services, but something that really can complete the model of healthcare. I mean, of course, patients, at some point we need to see a doctor in person.
Yeah.
And then at some point we don't anymore. Right. So how do we deliver that model of care that is truly resilient and safe? But I think that is where women's healthcare will kind of start to demand. But I think we will also be scratching our heads wondering, why is it that we are considered a niche now? So I think that all of us, there's kind of like a societal awakening in regard to perimenopause, as well as fertility struggles, even things like, why am I putting up with painful periods? Why is healthcare so skewed and all of that? So given the societal change, as well as the policy, the legislation changes, right? Like freezing is legalized. There's some subsidies in certain countries. It's almost, to me, inevitable. And finally, with technology, we're also used to things being so personalized.
Yeah.
So all these things coming together, I think, would really bring about the inevitability of women's healthcare being the forefront of health.
Yes, amazing. Maybe women's health would actually be kind of the poster child for the future of healthcare. That would be very cool, right? So given your experience as a multiple times founder in Asia, what advice would you give other founders that are kind of looking or thinking about entering the women's health space?
I would say work within the system, but innovate. Remember this metaphor from someone saying that you can't shake a tree if you don't know that it has roots. I would say understand where things currently are, understand why they have evolved to be this way, and then try to change it from there.
Yeah, amazing. And what about kind of advisors? You and Dr. Judy kind of also built a team of mentors or coaches or advisors around you that are helping you?
Yes, we do. So everything from medical specialists, really advanced gynecologists, for example, all the way to, let's say, creative advisors to rethink the whole experience. So these are people that we really had want to rethink women's healthcare alongside us.
Yeah, amazing. And did you do everything yourself, or did you participate in an incubator or any of these kind of programs, or not really?
Yeah, not really.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Oh, very good. Well, that's very even more impressive.
Thank you so much. But you know, I'm a second time founder. My first company, I did go through an incubator and I learned a lot at that point.
Yeah, that makes a difference. So maybe then my final question for you, looking back over the last 4 months, and I'm pretty sure you spent a lot of time kind of preparing for this, but what are you most proud of?
I know it sounds really cheesy, but I'm really most proud when people say that we have really made a difference in our lives, just because it's kind of unthinkable that we can actually change things, and seeing the impact is what means a lot to me. I'm also proud of the team that we have assembled. I think we are really people who genuinely care, and we are people who are hardworking, you know, put our head down, and also we get along really well. So that's what the two things I'm most proud of.
Oh, amazing. Well, unfortunately, our time is already done. How quick did that go? But thank you so much, Eve, for being on my podcast today. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. And congratulations on the results to date. As I mentioned, I think I haven't visited the physical space, but I will come and see you the next time I'm in Singapore. But I think the look and feel of the company, it's fresh, it's new, it's different, it's very clear. And I wish you a lot of success on this journey.
Thank you so much for your super encouraging and kind words. And I wish you the very best as well. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thanks, Eve. For the listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Eve and Hey Taylor, all their information, the website, the contact details are on the show notes. And if you enjoyed listening to Eve today and this podcast, please like and review and share so that we can amplify the voices of these change makers like Eve even further. Thanks, Eve. Thanks for joining.